Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas on Tuesday, March the 29th, and welcome to our commentary. Before I go any further, I just wanted to give you a little heads up. On Wednesday, we're going to be chatting with George Rodriguez. George, of course, is a frequent guest on our podcast as well as our video cast. And today, Tuesday, George is down on the border. He's doing a seminar that the Border Patrol is performing, or have invited a bunch of people, and George is down there as one of the many people attending. So we're going to get a lot of new information from George that we will be presenting tomorrow on our conversation with George on Wednesday. And, you know, one of the big stories that we want to talk about today, of course, is what's about to happen on the border. There are all indications that there are going to be some big caravans coming north, lots and lots of people putting more and more challenges on the Border Patrol. You know, we've already seen what they've done to the Border Patrol. I mean, these men and women are operating pretty much on a 24 schedule. They're exhausted. Many of them were exposed to COVID during the pandemic. So it's really chaotic down on the border, to say the least. And the big point right now is whether or not the Biden administration is going to maintain the Title 42 policy that President Trump had implemented. And Title 42, of course, is used during times of a health crisis like the pandemic. And I don't know. The Biden administration has not made a decision, but I think clearly many, many people in those caravans are expecting to come in. And I believe over the next 30 to 60 days, and we will get confirmation from George when we talk with him tomorrow. But over the next 30 or 60 days are going to be, you will see massive challenges to the border, massive challenges to the Border Patrol. And as I said before, these men and women are exhausted. There's nothing more that they can, they're putting up their very best, and they just don't have the resources to deal with this problem. So we're going to keep an eye on this. And again, we'll be chatting with George Rodriguez on Wednesday to give you the most recent update on what's happening on the border. So keep an eye on our Wednesday video as well as podcast. If you were watching the Oscars, I was not. I'm one of the millions and millions who don't watch the Oscar. I really haven't in a long time. But anyway, if you were watching the Oscars, or if you were one of the few Americans who was actually watching the Oscar, you may recall the punch, you know, between those two guys, Will Smith and whatever the other guy's name is. So you may recall that. But you also may recall that many, many of the artists and many, many of the people who had a chance to speak to the audience were criticizing the Florida, the new law that Governor DeSantis has signed down in Florida. Now, they call it Don't Say Gay. That's what the critics call it. And of course, that's a total misnomer, because that's not what the law does. It has nothing to do with gay or anything. All that this law does is simply protect young kids, 6 years old, 7 years old, 8 years old, simply say that these kids should not be told anything about gender or sexuality. That's not an issue for that age group to be learning about anyway. And if any to them about sexuality, it should be their parents, not their teachers or anybody else. So that's all that the law says. And it's interesting because the public opinion now is very much in favor of Governor DeSantis in signing that law, because it's simply common sense. That's all that it is. This is not a very complicated subject. If you are the parent of a 6-year-old, 7-year-old, 8-year-old, as I was one time, you don't want your teachers talking to your students about sexuality. You don't want the public schools having anything to do with sexuality, certainly not at that age, you know, 6, 7, 8, even argue they shouldn't talk about sexuality even when they're in middle school. Maybe in high school in a very professional or selective way, but when they're that young, they shouldn't be taught about it. And that's all that this law that Governor DeSantis signed. But the critics have gone pretty crazy with it. And I think it's actually helping Governor DeSantis. And I think it's all that the critics of this law are doing is motivating more and more parents to turn out to vote in 2022 as they did in Virginia in 2020. Or in Virginia, you had basically a revolt of the parents against public education. And I really believe that critics, the people who say don't say gay and misrepresent this law that way, I think all they're doing is inviting more and more parents to get involved in politics and to get involved in school board elections. And that's all that they're doing. So I think the critics of the law are actually, they're actually helping the law in the sense that more and more parents are getting involved and saying that they want to protect their kids. Again, it all comes back to common sense. As far as I'm concerned, it all comes back to common sense. If you're 7 years old, 8 years old, 9 years old, you shouldn't be hearing about sexuality in your schools. It's that simple to me. It's just common sense. It has nothing to do with Democrat, Republican. It has nothing to do with liberal, conservative. It has to do with common sense. That's all that it has to do. And I think more and more parents, if you follow the polling data, are beginning to realize exactly that. Well, another big controversy, of course, around here is, what did President Biden say and what didn't he say? And that is becoming a real problem for President Biden. He had a little press conference, yet kept denying. You know, it's sort of like saying, yes, I said that, but I really didn't say that. And for example, when he went in front of the troops, the 82nd Airborne in Poland, and he literally said, because I saw him and everybody has seen the video, when he literally said, you guys are going to see when you go into Ukraine, you're going to see women fighting tanks. You're going to see children fighting tanks. And everybody who was there was saying, wait a minute, who said that we're going into Ukraine? And that is exactly the problem with President Biden. He's not thinking what he's saying. Now, yesterday, of course, he was denying everything and saying, well, I didn't say that. Well, look, the video is there. The video is there. And I think the problem, what we're really seeing with President Biden, is that he has a very difficult time when he goes off script. When they tell him what to do and they tell him what to say, then he can stay within that. But the minute he gets off the script, then it's a disaster, a total, complete disaster, as we are watching. And this is not going to get any better because, as I've said many times, he's 79 years old. He's the oldest president we've ever had. There is a reason why we have not elected presidents in that age, of that age before. There's a reason that our presidents are younger. And that's because when you get to be 79, as we have all seen with our fathers, our uncles, our grandfathers, you know, things begin to happen. You start losing it. You start losing it. And I think that's what we're seeing to a large extent with President Biden. And unfortunately, that's the truth. And what are the Democrats going to do about it? I don't know. But they're in a very difficult situation because the vice president is not much better. She's younger, but she's not much more respected than the president of the United States at the moment. Well, some in the media, if you've been watching the news, some in the media are a bit surprised that President Biden's approval ratings are as low as they are. And they keep bringing up the great job that he's done in Ukraine. He really hasn't, but they keep bringing that up. They keep bringing up the fact that the economy not as bad as everybody thinks it is. And these people in the media do not understand why President Biden is doing so poorly. Well, let me give you a very quick explanation of why he's doing so poorly. It's called gasoline prices. Gasoline prices, every single American who fills the tank comes face to face with President Biden's policies. I also think the situation in the border that we were talking about a minute ago is also hurting President Biden a great deal, in the sense, I think there is a sense in the country that he's not in control, that he's being run by somebody. And that's the way it comes across. And a lot more Americans, I mean, I was listening to an interview with Mark Penn. Mark Penn is a pollster and a Democrat, actually. He worked for Hillary Clinton in previous campaigns, and he's doing polling now. And Mark was on the Bill O'Reilly show, and Mark Penn basically said that he's never seen anything like this before, where a majority of the American people don't think that President Biden is up. I don't mean ideology. I'm not talking about ideology here. I'm talking about his physical capacity. That a lot of Americans are looking at saying, here's a problem here. We have a problem. And that's unfortunately the reality of the situation. Well, today we're going to close remembering what happened in 1973. The Vietnam War officially came to an end on this day in 1973. Most of the troops had been out for some time. But today, on this day in 1973, was the day that the last troops, primarily POWs, left Vietnam. So today we're not going to get into a big debate about Vietnam because we don't have time. But we are going to remember the men and women in Vietnam, the 60,000 or so who were killed in Vietnam. And you know, when you look back at their incredible work, the American soldiers won every battle in Vietnam. They won battle. And yet it was the politicians who let them down. It was the politicians, especially the Democrats, in 1974 when they cut back assistance to South Vietnam and made the collapse of South Vietnam inevitable. So, you know, the men and women who served in Vietnam, especially the ones who died, so the men who served in Vietnam are now in their 70s, late 70s, many of them. And, you know, you see them everywhere. They're very proud, patriotic veterans. And they really deserved a better fate in Vietnam than what they got. So that's why we're not going to get into a big debate about Vietnam right now. But I am going to say I salute all the men who served in Vietnam, all the men and women who wore the uniform in Vietnam. Many of them, you know, they were a few years older than me, most of them. But nevertheless, I remember them. I grew up with many of them. I remember talking to them when they came back. They were a marvelous group of people who did their job. And unfortunately, the politicians didn't do their job. And that's what happened. That's why the war ended, not because they lost it, but because the politicians lost it for them. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas. And if today is your birthday, happy birthday. And we'll talk to you the next time. Remember our upcoming conversation, our chat with George Rodriguez on Wednesday. Everybody have a great day, and we'll talk to you later.